Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
NBA Finals just the Texans are back on the practice field. We hope, particularly myself, to avoid the murky deep water of how important is offensive line play. We did that yesterday. I don't want to do that again. I was thinking to myself as I drove home, that's not who I am. That's not. I don't care about it that much. I just got stuck. And I thought, and I don't want to ever do that again. So we're going to try to avoid that going forward. We will, if anything comes out of Texans camp, let you know about it. They're back out there doing the thing. I think this place and this show can be a place of honesty. We can just admit when maybe we gave up on a thing. I believe I got to be one of many who did not see Nick Allen start the rally, like live. How many people were watching Space City Home Network when Nick Allen, with two outs in the bottom of the eighth, got the rally going? I'll take a call right now. I normally don't take a call in the first segment. If you want to be someone to answer to my question and say, I was watching Nick Allen at the dish. I was there watching it live when he started the rally. I welcome you. 713-780-3776. I got to admit, I went to HEB.
And no two TV setups.
No, you have to be locked in.
Yeah.
You were watching one TV, Astros was, baseball.
I had no idea what was going on at the rest of the world.
Yes, it was just me.
And Nick Allen.
And suffering because I thought we were going to lose another one to the Pirates and lose the series. But I still had faith. I'm not going to take a non-call from anyone as saying no one saw it. I know someone did. And hell, it's not like we get 80 calls. We do get some. I just want to know if anyone was at home watching the Astros on their setup, but it was just the one TV because you were locked in. You didn't flip to the finals. You didn't flip to watch a bad movie or a comfort show to get you through before you fell asleep. Was anyone watching that live? Because I was, and I went to HEB. I came at HEB and it was 11-9. It's like, what the hell is this?
I got the like alert, like, you know, game final. Astros 11. I was like, what? I had to make sure I read it. I didn't get dyslexic and swap the scores.
I assumed the game would be over because, I don't know, I was in HEB for about 25 minutes. It was a little late at night. There's not a lot of people there, so I could get in and get out. But because I had tuned out, I was watching Knicks Spurs, and then that game ended. Then I said, I got it. Let me get out of here and go get what I need to get before they shut down. And when I got out of there, I see Nick Allen starts it. You had contributions from nearly everyone, and that's how it goes when you have that type of giant inning. And then it made me think, oh yeah, this, because the game wasn't over. This, because even the inning wasn't over in then I thought to myself, we're going to see Hader. That completely left my thought process, considering how that game went with Spencer Arrighetti and Paul Skeens, two best pitchers in baseball, not having that type of performance. And it went from, hey, could we have a pitcher's duel to, oh, the Pirates offense is beating up on the Astros again. This series is lost. Instead, you get all those guys coming together and picking up Arrighetti. And it was a part of the conversation because of what he's been for them this year. They thought to themselves, we need to go get him one. We need to get him out of there with the no decision at minimum, or at least at maximum at that point, because of what he's meant to the team. Joe Spada talked about it after the game. Even Yordan, when they were asking him afterwards, mentioned it, that the team really wanted to get this one for Arrighetti because he has been someone to kind of keep this thing afloat with all his performances. And then he goes out there and doesn't have his best. And they come through to the point where it doesn't wind up as a loss. Sure, all the numbers are on his jacket, the ERA, the hits, the home runs, the grand slam he gave up. I mean, it wasn't the home runs, it was the grand slam. But so that stuff sticks, but the loss doesn't because of what they did late in that game. They were 0-32 trailing going into the eighth inning. This was a team that wasn't a comeback team. It has been part of the Astros' way, is what we've become accustomed to over the last decade. This team finding ways to win late. It just wasn't part of the DNA of this baseball team. And they did it in a spectacular way against a Pirates team who brought out their closer, and their closer had no answer. They brought him in the eighth to kind of put the fire out, and it didn't stop. All because of Nick Allen. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Of all people, to get it going. And with two outs, all of it. So it just adds to the comeback that anything that doesn't go their way during that rally leads to a potential loss. And instead, you have a resounding win, a very inspiring win for the night. We'll see today how Imai goes, but for the night at least,
yeah,
it was a fun night at the ballpark.
Yeah, it was not quite a they needed one, but I think they needed one like that, like you said, with the record trailing in the eighth inning, where it's just like. I mean, that's why we all felt comfortable turning it off
and go. We had not seen this before. And then it's 9-5. No, yeah. This game is over. And then they were well on their way, two outs in the first with the first two batters, and then Nick Allen starts this thing, and he is one of the unlikely heroes. Look, Nick Allen, his biggest moment as the Astro was starting a 6-run rally, I guess. Even though he didn't have an RBI, but he certainly kept the inning alive. Not that anyone had any thoughts. Oh, look, Nick Allen had a nice at bat. Look at that.
Good for him.
And that's kind of like pat on the head. Good for Nick. And then it turns into what it turns into. So, yeah, Cam Smith coming through. He was the guy that Julia Morales talked to after the game because he had a big night overall. And certainly in the rally, he was the one who delivered the game-winning runs. He drove in Christian Walker and Paredes with his triple. So, all in all, is one you'll take. When we come back, we'll hear from Spencer Arrighetti, because for all the jubilation, you did have a guy who knew he didn't have his best, and he has something very funny to say when asked about addressing his performance. So we'll hear from Spencer Arrighetti, and in a couple ways, because he talked about loving and feeling the love from his teammates, because he was. What was relayed to him after was the words from a spotter that I mentioned and Yordan talking about how they really wanted to pick him up. So we'll hear from him on that. But when we come back, we'll hear from him on his outing, which wasn't great, but the Astros survived it and they won 11-9 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They'll close out the series today. It'll be Imai on the mound, and it'll be on FS1. So I believe it'll be only on FS1, so if you're looking for the game today, actually, take it back. It'll be on Space City Home Network, so you don't have to worry about it. But a national broadcast will have their say about the Astros as well. And I said Imai, it's Tang, not Imai today. It's Jared Jones versus Kaiway Tang. on the mound for the Astros, who has pitched well in this role where we don't really expect him to go more than four innings if we're lucky. But in those 3 to 4 innings, he gets the Astros off to a good start for the most part. So he has been a bit of a surprise when he's been put into that starter's role. And you know what? I take it back a little bit. He's gone 5-6-5 as far as innings pitched over his last three starts. So he has offered more than maybe we could have expected when he initially got put in that spot, because his previous start, he only went 3 and he didn't pitch particularly well. But since that point, which was way back on May 10th, he has been another of these surprising starters who have come through. Let's hopefully he can do it again against a Pittsburgh lineup, which has kind of had their way with Astros pitching over the course of the first two games of the series. But we'll hear from Eric Geddy when we come back. We can also hear from you at 713-780-3776. Astros win. We'll get to what happened in San Antonio last night with the Knicks continuing their run. We're now at 12 straight games in a row, a Knicks win. And another one of those games where they're down, and then they turned it into a double-digit win. So it's apparently, at least over the last couple series, the Knicks don't respond well to days off. And then they figure things out, and then they have resounding come-from-behind wins. And they did it again last night. I wouldn't say it was a well-played basketball game, but it was compelling. And at this point, it's the final series of the season, final games of the season, I'll take compelling over well played. I don't need these aesthetically pleasing games if I'm gonna get the drama that I got in the fourth quarter where I thought Wimby was gonna come through because he scored 6 of 7 points in a run that put the Spurs up, and then he was an absolute disaster also surrounding it. So it was a lot of fun to watch that. I probably wouldn't have been as locked in if the Astros had been more fun. And then they got fun, and I didn't see any of it live. I had to watch it after the completion of the ball game. So we'll do some Knicks Spurs when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Let's hear from Spencer Arrigetti. He's been the star pitcher for this team. Josh Hader was back. Hunter Brown still making his way back. Christian Javier had a less than. It wasn't ideal what he was up to last night in Corpus. It didn't make you feel great about his potential return. We'll see about him. But Arrigetti, since he's been with the big club after starting down in the minors, has been great. Didn't have a great outing last night. Here's his very honest assessment of his performance.
Pass. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I felt great going into the fourth inning. Obviously, bloop single, walk, hit by pitch, like kind of how it gets away from you. I thought I had struck Triolo out. When he challenged the curveball, I thought I was for sure out of the inning before any damage had happened. You know, it's tough. I say it every time I'm in here, that box is really small. I feel like I made some really good pitches, and it didn't fall my way. And then I should probably know myself a little better than to throw 5 fastballs in a row to anybody. It's not really my game. I think that, again, retrospect's 2020. In the moment, I fully believed it was going to work. Obviously, Henry took a good swing. He's in the big leagues for a reason. I don't know. It's just it's not really much to reflect on after that. Obviously, I don't want to hit somebody in the calf with a two-seam. I mean, I don't want to walk anybody ever, but I feel like I had been in control up until that point, so it just kind of got away from me quickly. Obviously, got stuff to work on still. I say that even after the good games, but after these ones especially. That's really all I got.
Yeah, he got into the fourth inning, started that inning out with the ground out, and then it went haywire for him. The single to Cruz. Cruz, who has done a good job of helping the Astros with his base running over the first couple games, he got thrown out. So now you got two outs and no one on, and then it went haywire for him. Single, and then he relayed the hit by pitch, and then you got the grand slam. So not his best stuff, but the team found a way to pick him up, and overall, good night out at the ballpark for the Astros. And I don't know how you grade wins of the season, but as far as what it looked like, you can put it up there. You can put it up there wherever you want as far as best wins of the year.
Yeah, it feels like a playoff win or something. It'd be one of the best.
Yeah.
Yes. It is a June 3rd
Pirates
game.
Yeah, if we're marking best, like at some point, I don't know if MLB does it because there's so many games, but most leagues will do their best games of the year. If it wasn't at the time 8 games under 500 Astros and you know a Pirates team, that's fine. It might have made a list of best games of the year, except I just gave you the context of why it likely won't be on the list. But either way, as far as we're concerned, a nice night. We'll see if they can get some momentum from that with Tang on the mound tonight. Okay. NBA Finals, what a lot of you might have decided you're going to focus on after it went bad for the Astros through the first 8 innings. Look, Becky Hammon, I don't know if you win no matter what happens the rest of the way. Okay, you said the thing where someone that small, in reference to Jalen Brunson, couldn't be the lead on a title team. So that, factually, you could still win that. But spiritually, I don't know that anyone's going to say that you're right because of what he's capable of, unless it goes really wrong and maybe the injuries that he suffered throughout the game and he came back from hamper him the rest of the way. I don't think anyone's pointing to Jalen Brunson as the reason the Knicks can't win a title. It'll be about the alien on the other side and a Spurs roster that was expertly put together. But if you're just going strictly off what Jalen Brunson is, I can't believe there's an argument against him being the best player on a title team, at least fully capable of being the best player on the title team from what we've seen. He didn't have a great night from the injury, which I believe just stemmed from Landry Shamet getting tired of being bullied. Because if you watch the early parts of that game, the Spurs were going at him. I did not know that that Champagne and Alvarado had a history because they're rivals from their high school days. But Shamet was getting talked to by multiple Spurs after they knocked down shots in his face. I think he responded after he knocked down a shot. And then he saw Harrison Barnes coming and was like, you know what? You're not going to try to body me and bully me. So he just chucked Harrison Barnes, got called for a foul. He threw Harrison Barnes right into the knee of Jalen Brunson. And it was one of those things where he comes in at the side and it bends his knee in. So we got real problems. He's limping. And then he goes back to the locker room. We like to, because we don't really care about Knicks history, we like to ascribe best Knick of all time. I'm sure they have their own thoughts, but we like to put that on them as far as who their best players are. If they go on the win, all Jalen Brunson was really lacking was a Willis Reed moment.
Yeah.
And he goes to the locker room, hurt, comes back, and then has an ankle turn in the second half, right? Was that in the second half?
Yeah. Other leg,
different body part, suffers on the ground for a little bit, comes back after a poor shooting performance, finds his groove in the fourth, and wins that game for him. Even the shot that gave them their final lead of the night, because after his heroics, the Spurs, thanks to Wimby's 6-0 run, well, 6 out of 7 points, I think De'Aaron Fox got to the line and maybe missed a free throw because that's what De'Aaron Fox was doing all night, missing shots. Yeah. Tough night. People are calling for Dylan Harper quite a bit. We'll see if that continues because Dylan Harper, good. De'Aaron Fox, not good. We'll see if they bench De'Aaron Fox down the stretch despite his one-time Clutch Player of the Year award. So
can never take that away.
Yeah, it was part of that Beam team.
It's on his resume forever.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see in history how much people consider that a big time thing as they continue to hand it out. But even once the Spurs took the lead off the backs of Wimby's play. Jalen Brunson, who was the only Nick who could make a shot late in that game, forces an offensive rebound, gets the ball back, and just knocks down a corner three. I had no doubt that was going in. If any other Nick shot it, not making it, because they had proven they weren't up to the task. He was going to make the shot. He makes it, takes control back, and then they go on to win the game. Wimby kicks the ball off his foot, dribbling. We got Josh Hart stealing the ball from De'Aaron Fox. I said it before. The only thing keeping me from being all in on the Knicks winning this thing is their fans. But even I have softened on that. When Bobby Shmurda is out there in the crowd,
yeah,
doing the song,
that helps. That definitely
that
helps.
Does help. Sure, Tracy Morgan's in the crowd and Ben Stiller's there. No, Timmy. Yeah. Didn't see Timmy.
Was he there? He just wasn't in that
area.
Yeah.
where the cameras could catch him all the time.
But no Christine Taylor. Olivia Benson.
Yeah,
got a real name. Sorry.
Yeah, no Anne Hathaway. I'm sure she's busy doing stuff. But yeah. Maybe she'll show up in New York.
Also.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, I love the Knicks, but it's San Antonio.
I'm a little surprised Timmy showed up. Honestly,
I'm not. He showed up in Cleveland. He'll show up.
Yeah,
it's the finals. Of course, he's gonna show up.
And I assume he has nothing really to do.
I mean, Dune is in the can.
Yeah,
so
but not like
he's not promoting it yet.
Doesn't have to promote it yet.
Not yet. So what's
this is the best part about being a movie star?
Yeah, there's a really successful one. Yeah, and when you're hot, there's just swaths of time where you know a role is coming, or
the summer off,
or a promo tour is coming. But also, there are times where you don't have anything to do, and right now. All he has to do is follow his Knicks. I don't know if he planned it that way. He had the foresight to know because he's you know, the chosen one.
I'd be like, give me the summers off.
He really took the Dune thing into a hey, I'm what's his official handle?
Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Al-Ghaib, and he goes, and in that movie, he knows things. That's why traitors can never win, because he just knows stuff. Maybe he's like that in real life. I knew the Knicks.
Yeah, he's seen all the possibilities.
Yeah, him and Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
he knew that this was the one. In his lifetime, the Knicks had one finals run in them, and this is the one. So he planned for it, and he's available for it, and he's having a good time. I don't even dislike Timmy, honestly.
Yeah,
Less Stiller and Tracy Morgan, honestly. But Benson, Hathaway, and Chalamet, I'm good with.
Yeah, I will say the
Risk of Hargitay is a real name.
Rando fans. That they show, just the not famous Knicks fans.
Or maybe they're rich. Oh, you mean just the guys in the crowd.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I want to slap them. They all look like the most annoying person alive.
I got to admit, I do enjoy Knick fan outside the garden performing for the mic and the camera more than I do Knick fan inside the building at the game.
Yeah.
In fact, Sean, did I throw that video? Maybe I didn't throw it on there. I got to find it. There is someone who's very creative, who put together just like a 35-second song. I didn't put it on there. I'll find it. And he put it together from this one Knicks fan's celebrations and his love of Jalen Brunson. But he put it to a kind of an auto-tuned pop song. So I'll find that. I can't believe I'm enjoying everything coming from this other than the traditional Knicks fan. Other than the traditional celebrity Knicks fan and the dudes who show up at the games who have got their – ill-fitting Brunson jerseys.
Yeah, and there's one where they're like doing the thing where the guy in the crowd signals for a timeout. Like
I saw that,
like tauntingly. I'm like,
all right, get out of here. Yeah, I agree. I saw that. I wasn't thrilled with that guy either.
Like, all right.
I don't like
again.
It.
Enough. Yeah.
There's
back to the famous ones.
Yeah,
please.
You know what? Get Josh Hart back on the screen. Somehow I love him.
John Turturro was at the game.
I did see someone say your Audi is a Knicks fan. Yeah. Turturro, famous for his most recent role in Severance. Although I don't know if he's coming back for season three. I forgot how that season two ended. But either way, he was there. I'll take him over his loudmouth brother, who's a giant Yankee
100%.
Fan. John, cool.
Yeah.
What's the other one's first
Nick.
Name? Nick.
From The Longest Yard.
Beat it. Oh, yeah. Beat it, Nick.
That's the only thing I know of. I know him from that and from getting upset when the Yankees lose in the playoffs
which,
every year.
Which now is just a thing. When you're reacting naturally, okay, but now everyone expects Nick Turturro to film himself yelling about the Yankees. John is understated, but shows up at the game. Another win for the Knicks, somehow, someway. That John's at the Knicks games. Nick is talking about the Yankees.
Yeah. They got the good Turturro. They got the Jesus of the Turturro brothers.
Once again, there's Cain and Abel.
This Knicks run, you mentioned it on the morning show. Basically, the only other teams to have a win streak like this in the playoffs were teams that went 15-1 in the playoff. You know, it's the 2017 Warriors sweeping their way through until literally game four of the NBA final. Like they
almost went perfect.
They went 3-0 in the finals after sweeping everyone in the West and lost game four. And then I assume the Shaq Kobe Lakers, although that was best of three or best of five series in the first round.
So the other team to get to 12 is the 99 Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They got to 12 in a row after winning games one and two of the finals. Lost game three in New York and then won 4 and 5 to win it all. Back when it was 2-3-2, so they won their title on the Knicks home floor.
Okay.
So they got to 12 as well. These Knicks have.
This Knicks team all of a sudden is like, maybe, I mean, they're not as good as the 0-1 Lakers and 17 Warriors.
No.
No disrespect.
Their margin of victory somehow has exceeded any 12-game run. So it includes those teams' 12-game runs as well.
Yeah. I think they're just on just an insane heater.
And they didn't even shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
And still wound up being down by double digits and finding a way to win by double digits once the clock struck zero.
I mean, they trailed 95-94. And end up winning the game 105-95.
Spurs didn't score another point. As I mentioned, the Jalen Brunson, he had the tipped offensive rebound, got it back, and knocked down the three. And then the Spurs didn't score another point. So if they win it, it does fly in the face of all these things people are trying to create. We know it's been relayed about the Thunder and what they were going to be. Yeah. People were putting the Spurs there, and now they may not even get to be lauded as the next dynasty because the Knicks just may take this title away from them.
And honestly, that'd be the most hopeful thing that could possibly happen in the for 28 NBA fan bases is just maybe it is just much more random. I mean, they did the whole package during the game or maybe before the game of this will be eight different franchises winning in eight different years, the longest in NBA history. And maybe it is just none of these teams, or at least the margins are so slim now, that's this actually kind of is the NFL once it gets to the playoffs, where it's just matchups and any given Sunday type stuff, and you can go on a run. It's not actually teams might not just rip off three straight titles anymore.
People have talked about the cap and the salary structures and why it makes it so hard. But we're talking about the two teams in the West positioned in a way where they can dance around that. Even the Thunder, which have some salary constraints, can trade away a couple of their guys who weren't even playoff rotation guys in the Spurs series and be fine money-wise. Then they have to make decisions about Hardenstein and Caruso and all those things. But as far as Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins, guys who they gave some money to, they could deal those guys away and get their financials in order and still have a pretty deep rotation. So the Spurs and the Thunder are the two teams currently who can break off a 3 or 4 year period of winning before the money really comes for them. And even the Thunder couldn't get to year two.
Yeah.
And look, it's one game and who knows how the rest of it goes. Wimby seems pretty confident. He goes, hey, I don't even have to play great and we can still win this series. I can just play normal. We will see about that. But even now, the Knicks can disrupt whatever plans or thoughts people had about the Spurs being the team. And as you said, it's probably pretty good for the other 28 teams to think to yourself, hey, yeah, it looked like those two teams were out in front. But the Knicks were put together, I don't even know if you would say traditionally, because all the guys they acquired, one was, Brunson, the fulcrum as a free agent. It helped that his dad was the assistant. They got him on the cheap compared to what he certainly is worth now.
That's the fluky
thing. Yeah. But Kat, you made a trade because the Vikings, the Wolves had financial issues with Kat, and they were willing to make that move because the star was going to be Anthony Edwards. So you could dish away a traditional playoff, not climber, but dropper in Randle, except for one playoff run, and he went back to what he has been at on this one. And then you do the thing that people have made fun of you for, Mikal Bridges and all the picks, and then OG Anunoby as well.
It's like
one of your own guys, a couple of your own guys to Toronto, and you get OG Anunoby, and now look at you.
Yeah, it just shows, you know, it's like a other way to build it, where you don't need to, like, nail three straight draft picks and have a bunch of extra picks like the Spurs and Thunder. It's like, okay, you know, basically have a pretty much failed rebuild and trade your way out of it, essentially.
Yeah, it can be done. And the Knicks, who have been a clown franchise for years, and in some ways still are, when you have Adam Silver going right before the finals and discussing how he and others have tried to broker a reunion between Charles Oakley and James Dolan, and it can't happen. Michael Jordan's involved. Adam Silver said he and Michael Jordan have tried to get Dolan and Oakley together to figure this thing out, because right now Charles Oakley is banned from Madison Square Garden. He has gone the Knicks road playoff games, but let's say in the apocalyptic scenario where the Knicks have a chance to win the finals at home, whether it be game four, game six. People had pointed to game six, but game four is in play. People, in that apocalyptic scenario, Charles Oakley won't be in the arena to watch the team he's closely associated with win a title, because he and James Dolan can't agree. And Michael Jordan doesn't do anything.
As a character witness, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan did an hour of television with NBC before the year started, and they cut it up, and that was much hyped. Even he has tried to step in to help that relationship.
There must have been like a NASCAR race, you know, like they went to Pocono, and he's like, you know, it's not that far from New York. I can swing by, take the afternoon away from 23 racing.
I remember having conversations about what that was going to look like. They got Michael Jordan. What's it going to be? And even we approach it as he's not going to just be around. I thought he might be live once, like to kick off the event, or maybe as we got into the playoffs. Got none of it.
Or more than one sit down.
Got none of it. He sat down with Tirico for like an hour, and they just divvied up how they distributed the quotes he gave.
I think we even were like, maybe he does like one interview before the season for like early season, and then one like around Christmas February
to give a thought about like the first half of the season.
What's currently happening? Nope.
None of it.
What it means to win.
Yeah. Just
okay. Cool.
My pie in the sky thing was like,
cool.
My pie in the sky thing is, would he, you know, maybe he's not a guy who sits down on the for a halftime show or pregame, but maybe he goes and talks to a current star for a thing, and it's Michael with Anthony Edwards. They can lean into the joke about that's his son. None of it. It was him and Tirico for an hour. Shout out to Michael getting a bag and being a great NASCAR owner somehow, some way. All right, we'll go to break. I was talking about Brian Abreu and his bag fumbles yesterday. I can't say that about Michael Jordan. He ain't fumbling any bags. No. Not fumbling any of them. We'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Yeah, KJ, I know. They put out a statement. Adam Silver putting out a statement about Oakley and Dolan. He said he thought it was AI generated. You had your Abdul Carter moment. it was real.
What is this BS?
It was real. What are we doing? It was real, and yet nothing could be done. To be honest, I don't look at Michael Jordan as a great conciliator. Like, I don't think guy who can bring two people together, I don't think of Michael Jordan. But they tried, and it didn't work. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So the Rockets made some news. We've talked about it in the lead up to it, so we'll get to it. But want to credit the Knicks defense, and also maybe talk about the corpse of De'Aaron Fox. He got banged up early in these playoffs, so he is not himself. but he was bad again. He was bad for the most part in the Thunder series. He did have a pretty good game seven, but you can't let him run the fourth quarter if Dylan Harper is on the type of run he was on. Look, no one really had a great night shooting for the Spurs. It's how you score 95 points in the modern NBA. But it's obvious that De'Aaron Fox is a worse option than Dylan Harper is right now. We'll see if Mitch Johnson, who, as a young coach, you would say, I mean, if people are diving deep into his decision-making, you would say he's kind of gone through these playoffs with not a lot of criticism. It helps because you keep winning games, you make the finals. There's not a lot to criticize you for. This will be a series, particularly as a favorite, that if adjustments aren't made and you lose this series, maybe not in four, but or five or six, you'll start to ask Mitch Johnson some questions about what he did. It's just the nature of the game. Jeremy Lin, of all people, who is now a contributor to ESPN, he called the offense out for how they're using Wimby. Too much isolation, not getting Wimby on the move, not having him set picks and then catching it on the move or Jagard setting picks for him. It just seemed like Wimby or bust for at times, and Jeremy Lin's wrong. I was just surprised that Jeremy Lin is now someone. Look, I'm sure they auditioned him. He was fine. He was pretty good. So it's not a question of his ability, but you just think Jeremy Lin?
Pundit Jeremy Lin
is not something I thought would be the case. He's been more in the podcast space. He's done interviews done podcasts over the last 4 or 5 months. I've seen him more in that world. But I did not suspect that ESPN would do that because this is purely ball talk. He is not a personality. Maybe he'll develop into one where he'll say some outlandish things or whatever. But you know what Perk's role is.
Yeah.
Of course, Stephen A. Smith's in a different realm. But you get why certain guys, why Cam Newton.
Dan Orlovsky. Yeah,
well, yes, he's tried to turn himself.
They say stuff.
Yeah, Dan will say stuff, most notably the Ty Simpson stuff right now. Jeremy Lin didn't give off, and Dan wasn't like that originally, but he had, how am I going to survive here as a non-star quarterback
and
analyst?
And he had to be a wince over Dak guy.
Yeah, I got to start to say stuff. So Dan's in saying stuff, and it's kept him employed. Jeremy Lin, at this point, is purely ball. And while NBC will do that, and Amazon, they're leaning into, hey, we're bringing on guys to talk ball. To grab Jeremy Lin, and he's on a prime spot with SVP right after the game. That's a prime spot for a guy to join SVP right after finals game one, and I think he did a pretty good job. So shout out to Jeremy Lin if that's what if it goes beyond just contributor for the finals.
Former Rocket.
Yeah, and that was
Rocket legend.
That wasn't the news I was referencing as far as the Rockets are concerned, but we'll get to that here before we go to break. I did also want to mention that Karl Anthony Towns, defensive stopper, he held Wimby to 2 of 12 as his primary defender. And why?
Move that cat!
That's right. Cat was moving. Have you heard that before?
No.
I forgot what he was yelling about, but it had nothing to do with Karl Anthony Towns, as most things happen, how they happen when we play things. It's generally out of context, but it's perfect. Now that
that cat!
I think it's perfect at this point. And it's just, I don't even need to explain it. Just listen to Lance one more time.
Move that cat!
And Cat was moving.
I mean, until the fourth quarter, if the Knicks, I mean, because it was tied after three, it was like, the Knicks finals MVP might be Karl Anthony Towns, because he was,
at least through game one.
Yeah, not only on the defense, but he was taken to Wimby. Like, he was blown past Wimby on offense and finishing. Like, this is not stuff that you normally see. A, Wimby get beat off the dribble, and B, not recover and send the shot into the stands.
Sure.
But yeah, Cat was really good. If I'm Becky Hammon, I really lean into that.
It's Cat, Steve.
And I go 12 for 30. 31 points on 30 shots or
if
whatever.
You are so insistent on being right and have no ability to go, you know what, I've messed up on this one.
No.
Then yes,
double down.
You go with Cat and go, well, if not for Cat, I mean, where would they be without him?
If she has a little bit of Skip Bayless in her, that's what she does. That's the Skip Bayless move, is to like, well, actually, it was.
Oh, you mean the guy who during the game said, the lights are too bright for these Knicks.
Yeah,
that guy who tweeted that. And then of course does a video after it and has to. I don't know if he walked it back, but he did go live or whatever, or at least made a video about the game. So I will not watch the video to see if he walked it back. But yeah, he was, you know, the lights are too bright for these Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently it wasn't.
I mean, Wimby loses the series. Well, can't be the GOAT. Sorry. MJ went 6-0.
I did not think of that as being a thing that's on the line already.
Yeah, he can be eliminated from the GOAT.
Wimby status as the best player of all time already off the table if he loses the series. Boom. Never mind that Michael Jordan didn't make a finals at 22, 23 years old. Doesn't matter. Sure, he got
ask
there.
LeBron how
he got there after several failures, but he never lost in the finals. He or his team was never good enough to make the finals at this age.
Doesn't matter.
But you can't hold that against him, though, because once he got there,
yeah,
and he played the corpse of a Lakers franchise, the last vestiges of a great Lakers run. Sure, he won that one. So, of course, got to keep him there.
Wimby.
Even those Jazz teams were at the the Jordan teams were at their last in. At the end of the rope, too. But those Jazz teams were wheezing through.
Yeah,
I mean, Stockton and Malone were in their mid-30s and maybe older when they were doing that, which speaks to how bad the West was. The Rockets played a part in that.
Yeah, yeah. Almost beat the Jazz.
Still, moving screen on Malone, I believe.
Almost got him.
Yeah, if they call him. Well, the Rockets are used to teams not being called for moving screens against them in their own building. It's been you thought
how many extra rings would the Rockets have if someone
called a moving screen?
If moving screens are
people think
called.
That started with the Warriors. Nope, that started with the Jazz in the late 90s. Moving screens being called it went from compact, the Summit to Toyota Center. I don't know what type of screens. What's his name? What's the minister's name? Who's
Joel Osteen?
I don't know how many moving screens are set. When Joel Osteen's making his way up on stage. But it was a thing then. It's a thing now. Hopefully, in these new uniforms, the Rockets have some moving screens called against other teams. Because the new uniforms are out. They honor space with the logo. Looks like a mission patch with the Rockets logo the Rockets are that kind of came into existence in the early aughts, 2003, 2004, whatever. That remains, people. Pushing back on that R still being there. It's the uniforms, if you haven't seen them, are a combination of several eras of Rockets basketball. I mentioned the logo from back when Tracy and Yao got it going. You've also got like sublimated pinstripes on the uniforms, which would remind some of the Catino Steve era. And then you've got the primary colors, the ketchup and mustard of the Hakeem and pre-Hakeem Ralph Sampson era Rockets. So they did a thing that a lot of franchises do now where they want to honor multiple iterations of their past. And the Rockets kind of got it all in. And I find the uniforms appealing. I don't think there's anything offensive about them. I don't think there's a lot to dislike unless you're so against the Catino Steve era of Rockets basketball. You don't want any reminders. Well, the Rockets did provide you some reminders because the stripes are straight out of those pinstripes. They're not as stark as the ones from the pajama era, but they're clear ode to those uniforms that Steve and Catino wore.
I honestly didn't even see them until I
you
saw
have
the,
to look
until I saw the still in the video.
Yeah.
You just can't really even
you
see
can't really tell.
And maybe it's just a lighting thing. We'll see when they're on a basketball court. But yeah, I think mostly. Good step in the right direction, good, but not blow your socks back like, oh my god.
I would agree. I would agree there.
And the R thing, I would have liked an opportunity to, move on. They didn't do anything new, really. They just kind of did old stuff, but whatever.
And combined it all together for a uniform. But I think they gave the people what they want, the primary colors.
Yeah.
And then they have a black uniform, which the Rockets have made part of their wardrobe over the last 6-7 years or so. So they have a black version of the primary home and road red and whites, although there isn't really a home and road anymore in the NBA. They just wear whatever the hell they want depending on the night. But you will have, if you want to call it that, a black alternate that people seem to like. So you can find the uniforms wherever the Rockets social media is, whether it's on Twitter, Instagram, the uniforms are there for you to see. Tari Eason is in a photo shoot, so
I did.
We'll see if they have to edit. Like, we'll see if they have to edit him out at any point because this offseason changes his the team he plays for. Like the U.S. national team had Diego Luna as part of their promotional stuff until he didn't make the team. So he had to get out of there.
Punk.
They can't put him in that stuff anymore. Does Tar Eason deal with that same, or the Rockets, because he would be gone. Do the Rockets deal with that same type of scenario where, hey, I know you're part of the initial release.
Yeah.
But now you're a Sacramento King, so, or a Chicago Bull.
Do that to him. Bulls, yeah.
Or fine. The Bulls have a lot of cap space. Maybe they come in with a poison pill offer, and then he's a Bull. They got to take him out of that uniform. Is that a collector's item? Because the Eason jerseys,
yeah, they printed one at least.
Yeah, they printed one for him. Maybe he takes it with him. But if they start to put him in the team store, and he's no longer,
yeah.
Look, it's the timing of everything. You put the uniforms out now, but under the microscope, maybe we wait to print uniforms until our rosters finalize. Because if you did want Jaylen Brown, would Alpi even be around for? We'll see. If that Jaylen Brown thing is real, some of the guys in those uniforms will never wear them in a game. We'll see about that.
They did keep it as, like, you know, Thompson, Durant.
Reed is in it, though.
Shingun. Yeah, but then it's like Shingun, Shepard, Eason is like the, like, okay. I don't know to draw anything from this or just.
Is this confirmation that the Rockets are running it back because they put those guys in the photo shoot?
Or it's just like, hey, listen, we can't have only three people.
It would look a little odd if it was Kevin Durant and J.D. Davison as the guys they use.
Jayshon Tate.
Yeah, because Jayshon is one of Ime's boys. So it was Jeff Green and KD. Those are the only two guys they put in the – and Steven Adams. The three guys, if they could get Steven Adams back from OKC. Yeah. if he had time.
Takes off his Loud City shirt.
If he had time to take off that shirt and get into a uniform for a photo shoot. But there it is. As I said, you can find them wherever you follow the Rockets. They're pretty good. And it's been a trend in the NBA where in some ways we just incorporate the past with an update, and the Rockets follow that trend as well. The Wolves have very similar uniforms as far as their new ones. It looks like the old with some new stuff, or maybe not new stuff, but stuff they've done more recently. Put it all together, and then you have a uniform that looks like something from the 90s, and the Rockets do the same. All right, we'll go to break with that. Segment one over. When we come back, we have not talked much World Cup, but we're going to talk about it in a way that maybe makes sense to you. A gentleman, and I'll call him that for what he's done, he has created comps. He has compared World Cup teams to college basketball teams. And we'll see if we agree. Because he used the Cougs for a comp, and he also used the University of Texas for a comp. And guess who he comped the University of Texas to, their basketball program to. Also, I will say this. His Miami comp to Columbia, I mean, it's a little lazy.
I think I know. I can think of the one.
We won't play it. I'll just say it here. He said, well, Columbia had a great run with James Rodriguez back when they made a quarterfinal. Miami made the Final Four in 2023. It's the peak of both teams.
Oh, okay.
But then he went to the obvious. Oh. Miami has a big Colombian community. In fact, the biggest one in America. Bang. That was the end of that. He found a way to make it about sports, but really, his real point was there's a lot of Colombians.
Ever seen the movie Scarface?
There's a lot of Colombians in Miami. So, Columbia it is. All right, we'll go to break. But before we do that, speaking of the World Cup, I want to remind you, you got your chance to go see a World Cup game here in town thanks to Michelob Ultra. It's pretty simple, and it starts today, or at least it continues today. If you want to be out and about tonight or Friday or Saturday, I'm giving you some locations where you can win tickets. Let's start at Rock Newtney's Bar, Sports Bar in Clear Lake from 7 to 10. You go there and you participate in the interactive soccer shootout game. And if you win, you get a pair of tickets. Same for tonight at Tri-City Bar Garden in Pasadena from 8 to 11. And also Wakefield Crowbar in the Heights from 7 to 10 tonight. Then tomorrow at Pochitos Mariscos y Mas, that's in South Houston from noon to 3. You've also got Moe's Place in Katy from 7 to 10. And then Social Beer Garden in Midtown from 9 to midnight. Those are all tomorrow. Then on Saturday, Bar Louie in Sugarland, that's noon to 3. And then Saturday as well, J Bar M and Ito from 5 to 8. All those locations at those times and those dates give you an opportunity to go to the World Cup. Just got to compete in the game, and then if you win, you got yourself a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Play for your chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2-1-26 and ends on 5-31-26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.